This is Cool Science Radio. I'm Scott Greenberg.
And I'm Lynn Ware Peak. Today we're joined by the Executive Director of the Natural History Museum of Utah, Jason Cryan, PhD, to explore with us a world where tiny creatures do the impossible. The museum's newest exhibition, called Bug World, was developed by the Museum of New Zealand Te Papa Tongarua, and it opens on February 14th.
Bug World invites us into a larger-than-life universe built by insects, where precision flight, swarm intelligence, and even mind control aren't sci-fi. They're everyday survival skills. Through immersive environments and towering bug replicas, this mind-bending experience reveals how insects are inspiring breakthroughs in engineering, robotics, and human problem solving, and why we may never look at bugs quite the same way again.
Jason Cryan, welcome back to Cool Science Radio.
Thanks, Lynn. Thanks, Scott. It's great to be here with you today.
We're really excited to talk to you about this exhibit in particular, knowing that you have your PhD in entomology. You are excited about bugs. And yes, you are the executive director of the Natural History Museum of Utah. You're an administrator, but this seems just like an out of this world exhibit that we're really lucky to get here in Utah. I mean, it comes all the way from New Zealand. Tell us more about it.
Indeed. Well, this is a great example of when all of your worlds collide into one amazing, exciting event, right? So I'm an administrator. I help run this museum and the amazing team that the museum is supported by. But we bring in special exhibitions, and this one particular one is absolutely phenomenal. Bug World, as you mentioned, and correctly, it comes from New Zealand, the Te Papa National Museum of New Zealand. But interestingly, it was developed in conjunction and collaboration with Weta Workshop. This is a group that is world famous for, it's hard to tell you how many movies and blockbusters that they've been associated with. Most notably, things like the Lord of the Rings movies, the Hobbits movies, Avatar movies, and just countless others. And they're super well known around the world for bringing fantasy worlds and kind of props and costumes to life in ultra realistic detail. And this exhibit that Te Papa and Weta collaborated on, Bug World, is absolutely mind bending, bringing the world of insects to life. It's just phenomenal.
Oh, that's so great. So Weta Workshop is very well known in New Zealand, as I understand. I mean, and also the winner of like 5 Oscars for special effects for all of these movies that you just mentioned. And in fact, I was reading that Weta Workshop is almost like a tourist attraction in and of itself in New Zealand. And the Te Papa Museum is a huge tourist attraction, like 1.5 million visitors a year. So this is big stuff.
It is big stuff.
What was the collaboration about, or why did it happen?
Well, so it is big stuff, and it's an interesting collaboration because they realize both at the museum and in Weta that museums are competing for the attention of our audiences in competition with other kind of big, exciting entertainment initiatives. And so in order for museums to really compete at that scale, we have to step up our game. We have to reimagine what we're doing in many ways. And so this particular exhibit does that very thing. It brings science to the public, the science of entomology, the science of insects, in a super exciting and engaging and almost cinematic experience. The exhibit itself is designed around 4 big focal chambers, if you will, pods. I don't know what the right word is there, but basically these are enclosures that the visitors will walk into, and they're totally immersed in almost like an Alice in Wonderland or a Honey, I Shrunk the Kids experience, where they'll be greeted by a giant master insect of some kind, whether it's a flower, an orchid mantid, or they're inside a beehive, or they're witnessing dragonflies in flight. These things are absolutely amazing, engaging, in total immersion experiences with the science and with the actual scientific information presented as well. But it is as close to a cinematic experience as we could get in the museum field.
This is incredible. I mean, this is a very popular exhibit. I don't know how you pulled it off. Congratulations. But what actually inspired the Natural History Museum to bring Bug World to Salt Lake, and why now?
Thanks for the question. It's a good one. You know, we are always bringing in special exhibitions to our visitors here into Utah to try to engage and inspire. We seem to alternate, perhaps not exactly, but we alternate between natural history, scientific exhibitions, and cultural, big cultural exhibitions. So our most recent, some of our more recent exhibitions included Egypt, Angkor about the Cambodian empire, things like that, Vikings, Maya. And so this exhibition, when we found out that it was available to bring to Utah, was just something that was more on the scientific realm, of course, the science of entomology and insects, but it brings this something special. It brings this kind of blockbuster feel to it that makes it at least as engaging, if not more exciting, than some of the big cultural exhibitions that we brought in.
And I'm sure a lot of that has to do with sort of the magic behind Weta, which if you know, we think of Weta more as kind of like the New Zealand version, I guess, of industrial light and magic, if you had to.
That's a good way to say it.
Yeah. But I'm curious about the partnership that they formed with Te Papa into actually merging the storytelling into this exhibit. How did that happen?
Well, that's a great question. I'm not sure I know all the details, but to Lynn's question and point earlier, I think that Te Papa, both Te Papa and Weta Workshop in New Zealand are major attractions in their own right, and they have other partnerships, Weta Studios or Weta Workshop does, all about New Zealand culture, the Maori and indigenous cultures there in New Zealand. And so I think that however that partnership forms between the two entities in New Zealand, it resulted in some really exciting attractions, and Bug World is one of them that we're just so lucky to have here.
If you're just joining us on Cool Science Radio, we're having a conversation with Jason Cryan. He's the executive director of the Natural History Museum of Utah. He's also an entomologist himself, and he's talking to us about Bug World, an exhibition being brought all the way from New Zealand. It's going to open on February 14th. This is a mind-blowing exhibition, and you will have a chance to go and see it for how long, Jason?
So we're opening up on Valentine's Day, February 14th, as you said, and it'll be with us through the first week in September. So a good long while. It's exciting because it will also coincide in the summertime with one of our signature public festivals, Bugfest. And okay. So it'll be with us during Bugfest as well. So we're very excited about that.
You know, I think it's good for young people and older people alike to have either a first exposure or a re-exposure to the importance of bugs in our world. We too often, you know, step on them and kill them in our homes. We don't want them there. So talk to us a little bit about how you, as an entomologist, and how an exhibition like Bug World can really excite us maybe excite us is not the word, but make us really value the role of bugs in our world?
Yeah, that's a great question. Thank you. I guess what I would say is, as having had a career in entomology, there seems to be two primary reactions to insects amongst the public. The first is kind of interest and curiosity and to some degree awe. And the second, unfortunately, is apprehension, trepidation, fear. And so this exhibit allows us to work with both of those kind of preloaded conceptions that people will come with about insects. We'll play on and amplify and magnify their sense of awe, their sense of discovery, their sense of inspiration about insects. But we're hoping to then transform any apprehension. We're hoping to kind of do away with any fear and really transform everybody's reaction into an admiration for this natural system, these insects that have an amazing adaptive genius associated with them. And so I think that this exhibit, more than any other that I've ever seen, will do that. It'll take the folks who are already predisposed to being curious and excited about insects and really give them what they want. And it'll take folks who are a little bit more nervous about insects and show them why insects are good for our planet. And that gets to the heart of your question, I think, and that is insects and the science of entomology touches every aspect of human life, from ecosystem health and biodiversity richness, to medical issues, to agricultural issues, to the way we live. People, scientists, and engineers study insects for their adaptive nature to try to work with materials and products that will improve our lives. There's a sense of discovery and awe in everything that insects are capable of doing.
Well, when I was much younger, growing up, I wanted to be one of three things. I either wanted to be an entomologist, a marine biologist, or co-host of Cool Science Radio. So I can tell you that I am very, very excited about this, and I cannot wait to spring upon my wife. Guess what we're doing for Valentine's Day this year?
Excellent. I love that.
You know, again, entomology, it's we don't really always think about bugs as having superpowers, but there are superpowers of insects, and some of them are actually highlighted in Bug World. What might surprise visitors the most about this exhibit?
Yeah, so you're actually right about that. There are superpowers out there, and they're in front of us, and sometimes we don't see them. This exhibit particularly highlights a variety of superpowers, like mimicry and camouflage, the power of swarms, the power of they call it, it's funny, in the exhibit literature they call it brain surgery, but it's really how some animals can control others. So these are the superpowers, some of the adaptive features of insects that are highlighted in the exhibit. Incidentally, what I would, just as a personal note, as an entomologist, my particular specialty is working with all of the things that are related to cicadas, the really cool things like tree hoppers, for example, which is a group that is not in the exhibit necessarily, but it's a group that in its own right are masters of disguise, masters of camouflage. And so by highlighting these special abilities that are in nature, we can not only appreciate them and get an understanding of it, but also be inspired by that. And again, as I said, consider how those superpowers may be used or mimicked in human products and materials that could improve our own lives.
You mentioned to Lynn earlier that we could learn a lot from the engineering aspect of some insects and insect biology. What are some real-world human innovations or technologies that we've taken from our study of insects?
Yeah, so there are many. I'm not sure that I know all of them, but a few examples. So rotary winged flight, for example, helicopters and those kinds of aircraft are in some ways engineered after the flight of dragonflies. And that's one of the things that is highlighted in this exhibit, not in particular, one of these kind of immersive spheres, if you will, is the flight of dragonflies.
Yeah, sort of like those machines, if you will, in Dune.
Yes. In fact, I think Weta Workshop worked on the movie Dune. So there's another coincidence. So that and I think that the external coverings of animals, including insects, have been used to inspire materials and material science and camouflage and those kinds of things.
Jason, as you've gone through your career loving insects, what's everyone's favorite insect?
Wow.
My first thought was like the praying mantis, because it's so cool and it just is so wild looking. And then, you know, you started to talk about dragonflies, and dragonflies seem to be people's, you know, like power animal or whatever you call it. Because they've got dragonfly art all over their walls. What are some thoughts that you have, you know, that you've heard people loving.
Sure.
Well, I just know it's not the earwig.
Yeah, probably not the unfortunate earwig. I guess what I would say is I could answer the question in multiple ways, but the first I would say is people have their favorites, right? So some of these charismatic insects are kind of inspiring by themselves. But maybe more interestingly for this particular exhibition is that there are some cultural meanings behind importance about some insect groups. And that very topic is covered in part of this exhibition with regard to, because it's coming from New Zealand, with regard to the Maori and the Maori cultures. And so how some of the indigenous knowledge and respect for the insect world is brought to bear in some parts of this exhibit, which is kind of interesting. But as you said, dragonflies are kind of a powerful one. You see that theme, dragonfly imagery in various cultures and contemporary art. Butterflies, certainly, of course, have always represented rebirth, the sense of transformation, personal transformation. So those are always, people love beetles. People love the idea of beetles. Of course, in ancient Egypt, the image of the dung beetle was seminal to the mythos. The sun was, the sun makes its way across the sky from east to west during the day because it's pushed by a celestial dung beetle. So, you see these themes of insects that come kind of recur over and over in cultures from around the world. And it speaks to our very nature of even today, here in Utah, we can observe the natural world around us and take inspiration from perhaps even the smallest of things.
Oh, that's great. So Scott, my co-host here, if I ever call you a celestial dung beetle, you'll know it's a compliment.
Is it though? Is it?
Okay, so let's get a picture here of the building. If you haven't been to the Natural History Museum of Utah, it sits above the University of Utah campus. It is the most beautiful building. How do you tell people how to get there? I mean, it's pretty easy to find, but...
Yeah, so we are uniquely positioned for a natural history museum just at the interface between the natural world of the Wasatch Foothills and the built environment of the University of Utah's Research Park campus. We're right next to Red Butte Garden and Arboretum. And so right up at the top of Wakara Way here on the Research Park campus, pretty easy to find, and we have free parking when you get here. It's a lovely building, as you mentioned, and it's architecturally designed to reflect a bit of the natural world, if you will, of Utah. We're clad in a copper coating from the Rio Tinto Kennecott mine across the valley. The inside of the building is architecturally reflective of some of the major geologic features of Utah. It's just a really special place, and I have to say how honored I am to be a part of it.
There are insects everywhere in the world, and I know that there are insects that play a very important role in Utah's own ecosystems. Will the exhibit spotlight any local species or sciences that focus right here in our own backyard?
Yeah, so we typically do add a local component to our special exhibitions when we bring them in. In this particular case, the actual exhibition is large enough that it kind of fills the space, but we have added a local component here in the guise of a video kiosk that shows some interviews and very short snippets of myself and some of the other entomologists here at the museum. Talking about that very thing, some local fauna, some stories about local insect world and those kinds of things. So we did add a video component to the exhibition to reflect some more local material.
As I mentioned earlier, I'm very excited about coming and seeing this exhibition, but I'm just a big kid. So is this designed for any particular age groups or types of learners that Big World maybe is designed for? How does it engage different audiences?
This is designed for all ages, of course, and we, you know, we say that sometimes it perhaps is a trite expression, but in this particular case, I tell you, it's for everybody. It's multi-generational. There are these big kind of, as I said, cinematic, experiential, immersive zones, and then there's cutting-edge science described all around those little focal pods. And so this really has something for everything. There are interactives for folks to test their own abilities against the adaptive superpowers of insects. There's something really for everyone in this.
How much of the museum is it taking up? Is it on one side more than the other?
Yeah. That's a great question. So we have all of our really award-winning, amazing permanent galleries on the south side of the building. The special exhibition gallery is about a 7,500 square foot room on the north side of the building. It's off by itself as in a place of honor, perhaps, and it's just a wonderful place for folks to come in. And you know, it's also something good to remember that the special exhibition is included in the regular price of admission for the museum, which of course is free if you're a member. So if you purchase a membership, admission is free through the year. But we do not charge extra for the special exhibition experience.
Well, that's really great. You know, in the beginning, you were talking about how much competition museums have out there in the world, because we have this just ultra sensory digital experiences all around us now. It's kind of crazy. And so what I love about a museum and a natural history museum, it just feels more hands-on, and it feels like this experience of you going through the rooms and I don't know, there's something, it has some sort of legacy, I feel like. But how do you explain to people why they should still love going to museums?
That's a fantastic question, and it's something that every museum across the world contemplates and struggles with. I guess the way that I like to describe it is that we as humans will always, and I underscore always, we will always feel the need to experience the authentic. And that's what natural history museums and science museums provide. And we provide the authentic items, object-based learning that provides, you use the word legacy, and I think that's a great word for it. It provides that real authentic experience of seeing something, learning about something, in some cases, in some ways, putting your hands on something and experiencing, internalizing the information in a variety of you know, didactic ways. So I think that is something that museums will always provide. We are a true science museum, and by that I mean we care for and maintain the collections, the natural history and cultural history collections for the state of Utah. And we display many of those objects in our galleries, but we are absolutely authentic. We have real science research going on here at the museum, and we convey that to the public. And so this is a place where people can learn, they can trust in what they see as being factually correct. And they know that, again, using that same word, what they're experiencing is authentic.
Yeah, that's well said, well said. Well, Jason Cryan has been our guest. He's the executive director of the Natural History Museum of Utah. He's also an entomologist. He cannot contain his excitement about Bug World coming. It's opening on February 14th. That's Valentine's Day. Scott and his wonderful bride will be there. But there are some special things on the opening day that kind of correspond with Valentine's Day. Isn't that right? Did I read that?
Yes, you did. We have on our opening day, we'll have some lectures. I will be giving a lecture with some guests. We have other activities for the kiddos, arts and crafts, and these kinds of things. And of course, the opportunity to finally experience Bug World.
That's wonderful. Well, Jason, thanks so much for joining us again on Cool Science Radio. Always great to have you here.
My pleasure. Thank you both.